Hi, everybody. How are you? Thank you very much, Honor, for the introduction. First off, being a dad is everything to me. And when I was an elementary principal, just starting my first year at Knapp Elementary School back in 2007, I didn't have any children. My work has always been around family and community engagement. Before children and after children, I feel like it's gotten a little bit deeper, and now I'm working out into the community, so to speak, with the Maker Dads work. But it's great to be here. My own innovations lab thinking began before Penn. It actually began back in 2012 in Baltimore at NAESP 12 or 13, back when it was a 8x8 cube with Tony Sinanis and Vicky Day. So any of you guys that remember the innovations lab in Baltimore, that's how a lot of this work got started. And of course, we've been partnered with NAESP and trying to support them along the way. So happy to be here. Work that we're doing as it relates to Maker Dads and the work at Penn and the work and just being a dad and a husband, a lot of mindfulness opportunities pass us by on a daily basis. So hopefully over the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be able to hit the top four and really kind of hit some areas that we principals can really hone in on throughout the rest of the school year and into the summer to start next year with more of a culture of wellness for our staff, for ourselves while we're at school. All right, so this is us. This is a day last summer. Like Honor said, I've got four children. Mark is on the left. He's the oldest. He's five now. He actually just started T-ball last week, so we've been doing lots of baseball in the yard, with the kids. I've got twins, Keely and Mickey there in the middle, and then there's Molly. Molly actually fell off her top bunk last night, so those of you with young children and who used to have young children know what that's like when you get that 2:23 in the morning thump and you're not sure what happened or who hit their heads or whatnot. So anyway, it's life. It's messy. It's daddyhood. I love every second of it. And me modeling wellness for my kids is one of the most important things that I can do as a dad, let alone with a school full of 600 kids, modeling what it means to be well physically while we're out in the community. So again, this is me, this is my family, this is what I bring to the table, and just really loving being a dad these days, and I can't wait to tell you all about what we're doing to make a mindful home, but also kind of bring the mindfulness and the wellness into the schools. Next. All right, so I've been out of the principalship. I say to folks that I'm a recovering elementary principal. This will be my fourth year out of the principalship. I left the principalship back in 2014 to go full-time at Penn for 3 years before this summer leaving Penn full-time and going Maker Dads 100%. So I often get questions, what was it like to be a principal? Knapp Elementary School, we had 650 kids, we had 27 languages. We were a Title I school. The community was our school. The school was our community. We really worked hard at that. And it can be really, really a busy job, right? I didn't have an assistant principal or anything like that. But, anyone that's working in a school that's responsible for the children, there's a variety of different answers that come to this question. So when I said it was awesome, it was like being the president. Next slide. Being the president on a daily basis where you go back through classes, kids are giving you high fives, it's awesome, you're talking to another parent outside the school and a whole group of kids goes by and treats you like you're the best thing that they've ever seen, whatnot. And that's one part of the principalship. It's great to kind of be that responsible figure for those kids, that relationship builder on a daily basis. But it's also you next slide. You begin to look at the school and all the different relationships you have across the school. So, yes, you see one kid on a daily basis, but for every one of the kids that you pass in the hallway, you're responsible for that kid, that parent, that teacher, every day. And if you're like me, you really take your job seriously. You want to be the best principal you can possibly be on a daily basis. And the more you know about situations, the more you almost put your heart into your work. So immediately, when you take a look at what the responsibilities are for the principal, I always think back to this picture right here. There's that many responsibilities times everybody in their family. Because I'm really, my job as the principal is to be almost a wellness ambassador for my school. You know, I've got to look out for the students, look out for the parents, look out for the teachers. But most importantly, if I'm not modeling for the staff, for the stakeholders, for the community wellness personally, then how are we really teaching it? So I want you to think about the last time you're on an airplane. Next slide. How many balls are we juggling in the year right now in May? I'm sorry, back up the tape. How many balls are we juggling in the air right now in May? You know, some people might say, you know, a couple. Those principals are answering. There's like 1,000 balls in the air right now. Go to that next slide, please. Yes, this is May, and it's Mindful May. I hope you all are celebrating Mindful. We'll get to that in a second, but there are so many things going on right now. Everyone wants a piece of the school principal, the assistant principal, the teacher. You know, there's lots of different things happening. Right now is really, really a time that you should be taking care of yourself and really making sure that you're reaching out to the people that are around you to support you. Next slide, please. So every principal does it. They go in, they do the work, they come home, you know, it's another day. Oh, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. You're up till, you know, 11, 12 o'clock at night. You're spending time on weekends doing work. You're crushing any opportunity for family time because there's always this big job called the principalship that you have to do. So I want us to think about this quote, not because I want to use it on a daily basis. You know, getting things done every single day, it still gets done. But to think about, you know what? What if we didn't say it all had to get done every single day? You know, what if we really kind of started thinking about ourselves first and then putting everybody else second because it was actually a teaching and a learning opportunity? Next slide. So think about the last time you're on an airplane. You got this flight attendant, and she says, you know what? Everybody put your oxygen masks, if they come from the ceiling, you're going to put the oxygen mask on yourself, and then you're going to help the person next to you. And the more I've been on airplanes over the last, you know, couple years, the more I thought deeper about this. It's not just being on an airplane, being safe. Next slide, please. What if we actually took this image and this statement and related it to our work about being well, related to our work about being leaders that not just, you know, got all the responsibilities in the school taken care of like we always do as principals, but had this say, you know what, let's make sure that I'm actually taking care of myself and sharing with my students, with my teachers, with my parents exactly what that means. Defining wellness is really important. We can talk about it to death, but we're going to go through four different ways we can actually define wellness here in the next 15 minutes. So next slide, please. So, yes, let's think about modeling the way. What if we modeled the way and taking care of ourselves while empowering those around us to embrace wellness in a way that works for them? So, next slide. Mindfulness. So let's start with mindfulness. It's Mindful May. There's a local school district in Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. I practice mindfulness and contribute to the well-being of Cheltenham School District. That's one example. There are thousands of mindfulness opportunities for us to get to know right now. Mindfulness for me as a dad comes in a couple different options. On Saturday afternoons, we go to church. During that time, that's probably the most mindful time all weekend I have with the kids and the family and whatnot. So I take advantage of that time. I also have time in the morning before the kids get up and at night when the kids go to sleep. I also feel like the more I read and take time to reflect upon I'm reading, I'm also being mindful. While we're doing makerspace work, we're making actually mindful jars where you put glitter in the recycled water bottle and you flip it, and as long as it takes for the glitter to go to the bottom of the bottle, that's when you actually start to become mindful, when you let things calm down around you and find your minute. You might find the Calm app helpful on an Android and an iPhone. There are so many resources out there. But mindfulness is absolutely something we've got to stop just admiring and using as a buzzword and a hashtag and actually take the minute or two a day to feel mindful. You can stop the school day. You can do it over the announcements. You can do it on video. You can do it during a parent event. You can do it at a staff meeting. You can do it with kids and have a mindful corner of your makerspace or a mindful corner of your principal's office. So upping the bar on mindfulness, not just letting it be a May thing. Mindfulness, actually, I tell our mindfulness coach, Cindy Goldberg, in Cheltenham School District, we should have mindfulness as the month of September. So we come into the school thinking and embracing mindfulness in the many, many ways that teachers and students and families and school leaders can embrace mindfulness. So mindfulness, number one on my list. I never practiced mindfulness a day in my principalship. I was moving too fast. I never got it. I never fully embraced mindfulness, but now I've actually, it took me 10 minutes to sit down, go through one of those meditations on the Calm app, and that got me thinking and talking to more people and reading books, and before I know it, now I'm learning to embrace it and to embed it into our home and work lives, because we work from home with MakerDad. So next slide, please. Okay, step to it. So number two is, how many of you have a Fitbit team at your school? How many of you are using your steps as teachers and principals and other people around the district to actually get the recommended 10,000 steps a day? How many of you are doing this, you know, in a collaborative way? I see lots of people walking around with Fitbits, and they have the opportunity with today's connectivity and technology to connect to each other and really help us reach our goals. So when I was principal, we had a lot of those different biannual events where you got a partner, maybe you tried to lose 10 or 15 pounds, and it was a combination, maybe Biggest Loser or something like that. I remember some of our teachers running that. It was fairly successful. But we can take that to the next level. You know, it doesn't have to be just a two-month contest. It can be this running, hey, the biggest steppers of the month. How do we step when we're in a school all day and we just walk around our classrooms? Yes, you can get those steps, but as a school principal, you can model the way. You can call a walking meeting once a month. One of your meetings has to be a walking meeting. You know, when you look at the research, look at the two brains that are here on this picture. They are very different. And if we want our teachers to be thinking creativity, like we want our students, like we want our families, and like we as school leaders absolutely have to be. So if you are a principal, you're already getting your 10,000 steps easily, probably by noon, if you're walking around and you're in and out of classrooms and walking the grounds. But your job is to then allow others at the school to provide or to receive this opportunity to get steps, to up the dopamine, to really become more creative because of what we know about our brain. In the comment section right now, or in the questions, if you would answer this question for me, what are you doing to bring mindfulness or exercise into your schools right now? What are you doing as a school principal, as a teacher? What are you doing right now to do that at your school? Maybe you're doing it privately, but you haven't shared it with others yet. Maybe there's a group of teachers running something. I would love for us to just kind of stop and think right now. We talked about two so far, mindfulness and exercise, you know, two things that really relate to being well and modeling wellness. And some of it is curricular, and some of it has nothing to do with the curriculum. But when we're talking about life skills, college and career ready, I want college and career ready students to be mindful. I want them to take exercise seriously and consider it part of the gym, and not necessarily going to the gym, is creating your own gym. So, Honor, could you give us some responses that are coming in on the questions?
Sure. So we've got a couple of responses. Jackie writes, promoting movement breaks and providing ideas for mindfulness classroom activities.
Yes.
Jennifer.
I've seen those movement breaks come in to school districts and schools as mandates, and, you know, that doesn't work either. If you don't have a teacher and a principal that really embraces this stuff and models it, the kids are going to see very quickly that that is a mandate, and it's not something that they care about. You know, so again, this comes back to relationships, and if you're really getting to know your students, you're sharing with them, hey, I'm not feeling very mindful today, I've got to, you know, take care of that piece. Or, you know, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep earlier this week, I've got to make up for that, you know, because sleep is more of a week thing than it is a day-to-day thing. Other responses, Honor. Thank you.
They're coming in now. So then we have, let's see, Jennifer writes, yoga class after school, one day a week.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You know, and not everybody's going to feel comfortable going out there and doing yoga in front of people, but I think the more that you can offer something and really start to offer these opportunities to make, to exercise, to do things. And we provide a lot of opportunities for kids, right? That's all we do is provide opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for kids. Now, what I'm trying to pass this message along is if we don't start providing the opportunities for adult learners, our teachers, ourselves, our parents, then whatever we tell our kids, they know us well enough, whether something is real, authentic, and they do it at home when they leave school, or this is just a school thing we have to share. So I love when I hear about the yoga clubs and all those different kind of things happening. You know, that's absolutely awesome. And maybe that's a part of your school that you need to learn, dig, you know, create a whole yoga place on a bulletin board and really dig out and do almost a little research part about, you know, where that came from, where yoga looks like in different parts of the world. Maybe there's a student yoga opportunity that could come about. Maybe even parents want to take hold of something. Mm-hmm. Like that, and have their own something before or after, like a PTO meeting or something like that, just to bring people together. Other responses before we move on to the last two.
Sure. Rebecca writes, Go Noodle incorporates both.
Yes. Yes. And so I love when we talk about apps. I want to hear about how is that app a daily part of your growth? In this piece, you know. So, if you could share, and I'm going to read all these responses later on after the webinar, and I don't know if it's live, and we can respond back. But, you know, let's start with the focus of, you know, something that brings mindfulness, something that brings steps, but something that connects the two, something that really allows us as leaders to model that and talk about it with pride, as those two things are a big part of our school. And creating whole children, whole teachers, whole leaders, and whole community members. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's move on. We've got hit mindfulness. We hit steps. Let's move on to number 3 of 4 today.
Can I say one more? That was Nicole wrote, we do a school-wide morning meeting during first period and do breathing together as a school, all teachers and staff. We also just celebrated Every Kid Healthy Week and did a full day festival to speak about wellness for the whole child. In addition, we do move to improve and do movement breaks throughout the day when needed. I just thought that was very interesting.
Excellent. Let's make sure that we get the chat transcript out to all the attendees, because I think there's lots of ideas being shared there. Again, I'm trying to spark some ideas for you. I want you to take it and run with it. Another idea, one of our schools created an outdoor makerspace, and everybody says they doubled their steps because now they're not just walking inside of the school. They've got a big property. Now they put some things outside of the school. We have another school that has created Fitbit tracks of 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 steps. So, again, open 24-7, 365. It doesn't just have to be during school time. You can come and work on getting your steps at that time. You know, how do we make that school ground, the physical plan, as valuable as it can be inside and outside for not only being well, but for all the extra opportunities to learn and to share? Excellent. Thanks, Anna. Let's go on to number 3. And keep us moving here. I know these principals got to get back to the 87 balls in the air they've got today. All right, just me. So here we go. This is an open make that we held about 2-3 weeks ago on a Saturday morning. And this dad, who also is a teacher in a local school district, came and he was making alongside of his pre-K kid. So to think that makerspaces and making is just a kid thing, and that's what, you know, kids are graduating high school, making $140,000, being hired by Google because they know how to code. So that's great. We can do it for reasons that we know are preparing our kids and learning how to code from a young age. But if we're making ourselves, we're also reaping that dopamine. It's just like sitting, you know, making sure that some of our learning stations are around sun, making sure when we walk around our school, all the shades aren't down. We're not just wasting the dopamine that's coming into that window, so to speak. So really taking a look at our makerspaces in our schools, our libraries, our computer labs that have gone, you know, we used to spend a lot of time in there doing different things, and now we're trying to broaden, you know, what are we making? What are we designing? You know, what kind of spaces are they? And while we're building them, let's make sure that we're building them for teachers and kids, not just for kids. I feel like our educators, you know, the rotary phone's not coming back. So us educators need to learn to make in all the ways that that word make means in 2018 together with the kids. Because oftentimes they're going to be teaching us how to make and what to make and how they did this and how they came up with this engineering exercise. So take it upon yourself, whether that's going to Home Depot and doing a workshop, whether that's, you know, this weekend during our open make, we're making little free libraries in the community and we're getting them back out to the community. So whatever that looks like for you, each of my kids, my 3-year-old, my 5-year-old, they have their little toolboxes. I have my toolbox. We all have our toolbox. We always want to make sure that if something breaks, then we're not running outside to fix it. Maybe we're making or hacking something around the house in the classroom that we can fix. Obviously, there's policy and whatnot with getting tools out in schools, but the idea is we shouldn't just allow opportunities for kids to make. We should be makers ourselves, and a lot of us already are. We just haven't been empowered to be makers inside the school building yet. That's what the school principal has an opportunity to do, bring out the makers. Making it comes in a lot of different ways. We have family makers, parent makers, teacher makers, kid makers. And I know there's principals that are paying attention here this afternoon that are also makers. If you're a dad, use the hashtag MakerDads. If you're a mom, use the hashtag MakerMoms. Share some of the things that you're making with your kids. That's the point. You know, we want to kind of create ideas when all of us are brain dead all of the day. Oftentimes, if I see somebody that did something on Instagram, that gives me an idea on something that I could do with my own kids. So again, making. What are we making? Do you have any, this is the next question, if you could use the chat bar. Are there any opportunities in your school for teachers to make before school, during school, after school? If you have a makerspace, is it adult-friendly or just kid-friendly? Are you towing that line, understanding that our teachers really don't have a lot of teaching and training opportunities to understand makerspaces? So that's a lot of the work that we do. I'm asking you as principals watching on today, what is already happening in your school to allow adults to make, including yourself?
So if you'll use the question
box. While you guys are chiming in, I've got an outdoor example, an elementary school, Fox Chase Elementary School in the School District of Philadelphia. They have their own fresh produce stand. So their making comes from their outdoor garden, and then they then sell their produce on, I think, the first Friday of the month or something like that. So, again, we consider that making because there's a lot that went into making those vegetables and fruits to be able to not only use them during their school lunches, but, you know, use them as almost a fundraiser to support their school and their growth. So that would classify as something that was a maker activity, more on the outside of the school. But, again, lots of opportunities there to talk about science, agriculture, and soils. Go ahead, Honor.
Okay, so Joseph writes, we have two spaces for kids. Teachers are encouraged to make things along with students, and modeling is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then Karen writes, we don't have anything for our teachers. I love this idea of starting something for teachers.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about makerspaces, but I feel like, you know, we invest so much in our teachers anyway, and we've got to consider them learners. And just like kids like visuals, teachers like visuals too. So I know that, you know, schools that have created these Instagram hashtag bulletin board walls that are like just off of the teacher's lounge. So it's a good visual. They, whether it's makerspaces or mindfulness or exercise, you know, you can put these big topics and have people start clipping. Yeah, I know we remember the days where we clip stuff out of the newspaper. I still do it. You know, for our classes and our lessons and whatnot. But I think we've got to continue to do that. And really, current events plays a big role, especially when we have children. We're not just planning for ourselves, but a lot of us are planning or looking for activities that we can do with kids, not just alone by ourselves, because we know we get hardly any of that time. So as we're looking to build this culture of being well at school, out of school, you know, think about what you can do with the things that are already there. I haven't mentioned paying for anything yet today because I really don't think our conversations here as school leaders really has anything to do with dollars and cents. I think a lot of this is mindset. A lot of this is finally opening the doors for neuroscience to take over your school. And that's a great compass to be pointed in on a daily basis. You know, there's so much neuroscience in everything that we're talking about today, and none of it's new. You know, a lot of these things have been around for a while. Any other responses before we move to the last number four?
So Rebecca writes, we have a garden club, a Lego wall, a robotics club, and others to include both students and teachers to work side by side.
Excellent. Excellent.
And then Karen writes, we do have a makerspace for our students. And that's it.
Excellent. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. My ask of you would be to flex that out and reconsider if that makerspace should be directed toward any one population, or should it just be directed toward human beings? Because making is not student, it is not adult, it is not young, it is not old, it is not school, it is not home, it is human. So how do we create these spaces that are flexible and they can be, you know, humans can come in there and start tinkering, making, and engineering the second they come in the doors? All right, number four, please. All right, so back in 2012, I did my first NAESP webinar, and I think we were talking about using Twitter to connect to other principals, to take yourself off admin island. At that point, there were only probably a million educators worldwide on Twitter. Today, I think there's over 10 or 15 million. We continue to be the field that uses the Twitter stream the most. You know, I've talked to Tom Whitby about this. I've talked to Jerry Blumengarten about this. Lots of colleagues in our PLN. It is a choice now for you to feel unwell and not have support. There are lots of networks out there. You know, we're facilitating one of these called Semicolon.edu, which you'll find out in a second. But I would ask you as a school principal, if you're watching or listening right now, that the 3 to 5 most important relationships that you have on a day-to-day basis, whether it relates to kids or teachers or families or the community, these are people that we need to have good relationships with. These are people that we need to be open and invested in getting to know. And you know, personally, you know, I battle depression and ADHD and anxiety on a day-to-day basis. And it's only been 3 years since I went public about that. But looking back in hindsight, man, I wish I would have been upfront and honest with some of my closest colleagues when I was a school principal. You know, even now, when I'm working at Penn, everybody that I work with now knows about these things that I battle on a daily basis. You know, I am dead set on being well on a daily basis and being strategic about it because I've known myself in the first 20 years of my career and what I've been able to accomplish and what limited me. So how do we take what we learn in the first part of our career and say, hey, for the next 20, you know, I'm going to be authentic, I'm going to be upfront, I'm going to be connected, I'm going to talk about my shortcomings, but I'm also going to talk about my strategies, you know, so you know where I'm coming from. So some of this is having open communication with our colleagues, but another part of this is you might not find your support at your school or in your school district, and that's okay. You know, I think that we have to, you know, in a perfect world, everybody is working in a school district that really embraces mindfulness and embraces wellness. And, you know, this school offers naps for teachers and all those kinds of, that's not 2018 in American education. You know, I don't know if some of those things may be, you know, coming or with culture changes, but, you know, today it's on us. It's on us as the school leader to make sure that we know ourselves well enough to surround ourselves with good people. You know, we have those conversations with students all the time, you know, about who they should hang out with versus who they shouldn't hang out with. You know, right now, which people help you and support you with your goals, with your wellness goals, with your mindfulness goals, with your exercise and your steps. You know, who encourages you and empowers you? Surround yourself with those people, period. You know, you get to choose who your network is. Constantly be reshuffling your tribe. You know, I was talking with a group of folks back in 2010 to 2014, 15. My PLN has greatly changed now. Now it's very, very hugely centered on fathers and family engagement and school leaders and just being a community member. What does that mean to us? So if you've ever heard this get off admin island, meaning you can use Twitter, you can use, you know, other mechanisms, do that, find that. If you have trouble leaving Admin Island, let me know. I will send you a ticket off of that island. We've got a really, you know, it's 2018. We've been doing this connected stuff for 8 years. It is best practice to be connected to other people that are visionary in different ways than you are. And if I'm a principal or a teacher or a parent, you know, I want that kid surrounded by as many opportunities as possible. And if the principal isn't putting the oxygen mask on themselves before they support the rest of the students and the people that support those students, then there's a breakdown in the beginning. Next slide, please. So, yes, semicolon.edu, you can find that on Facebook. And really, this network was set up to allow educators with any kind of challenges as it relates to mental health to have a place to go, to get support, to talk about challenges, solutions, ideas, resources, books, magazine. I get ADHD magazine every month. Not that any of you could tell that I'm ADHD at all, but you know, I know it about myself, and I know that one of my four kids is probably going to struggle with something that I'm struggling with. So how do I, as a dad, as an educator, really kind of be really, really upfront about that and be proactive about what my steps are as a dad and an educator? So remembering this, next time you get on an airplane, I hope it's not the next time you think about this. Every day you get in that car, and when you get out of the car in the morning and you get shot out like a cannon, like every principal does in the morning, it seems like the second your car door closes, you've either got somebody talking to you or your phone's blowing up or there's an announcement that just went off that you got to go see if that actually was announced the way it happened. So take care of yourself. Put the oxygen mask on yourself. You deserve it. If you want to have the school that it has the best mindful culture, the best well-being, culture of well-being for parents, for kids, for staff. If you want to hire teachers and say, we really care about the whole teacher, you know, we've all got to step up in all these areas. I started with four. Focus on one to start. Enjoy. Try some things out over the summer. Hopefully I'll see you at the NAESP conference. We can talk a little bit more there. But I'm appreciative of your time today. Next slide. The question I'm leaving you with today is, how will your leadership empower or stifle a culture of wellness? And, you know, using a couple of the examples we had today, but really, what are we doing that's structural, that's part of the bricks on a daily basis, that's either written for us or we're actually putting out there ourselves, that empowers wellness or stifles it? And I'll ask you to reflect on that. I will read all of your responses, but right now I'd love to open up to questions.
That's great, Joe. As people reflect and put in your answer this question in the question box, I think you know what you're bringing to the table here this afternoon is just so important, especially today in May when we know everybody is probably just so slammed with stuff. Are there any tips that you would recommend for this month of May? I mean, considering everything they have around them. I mean, if you were a principal again. You know, Joe, knowing what you know now about mindfulness and all this stuff, what would you do differently?
I'd invest a lot more money in mindfulness than I did in technology, I'll tell you that much. And I'm a tech geek. You know, I feel like there's such an important piece of understanding life, you know, because school is just one little tiny fraction where we can be mindful. But, you know, this is such a bigger skill that kids and adults need from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. And there are specific things that we do in the morning, in the afternoon, the evening, and before bed that can help us be more mindful, get more quality sleep. You know, and some of that has a direct correlation to being disconnected and finding a balance there and being strategic about that, not just hoping the balance happens, but putting in mechanisms that make sure that you're available when you need to be available. And I apologize. I feel like I got off to a really kind of unorganized start. I was put in the supply room at the school that we're working on today just before our webinar, and I was a little disheveled. So we're getting ready to do a Maker Dads event here in the community outside of Philadelphia here in about an hour. So I'm coming to you right before that today.
That's great. So Karen writes, and this is a good question, there are so many hashtags to follow. One second here. I just lost my feet here. There are so many hashtags to follow on Twitter. And this is my question too. How do you manage building your PLN online? And like, where do you, you know?
Yeah. It's a really, really great question. One, hashtags are great, but that's not necessarily where the relationships are. So follow the hashtags, yes, but really start to see who the players are, who's actually a practitioner doing this work. You know, I have a lot of friends that are consultants, and some of them aren't actually principals and teachers anymore. So I'm less likely to follow them for my day-to-day work with asking about a day-to-day mindful piece versus someone that's actually in the field. So for mindfulness, I would follow Cindy Goldberg. She's out in Cheltenham. And Brian Akins, he's in Springford. Those are two educators that I know that really embrace the mindfulness on a day-to-day basis. In terms of following hashtags, though, pick ones that relate to your goals that you have for yourself. This is a great opportunity to go down, revisit these goals. They're so pretty, and you present them to your superintendent, and then you chew on them, and they get sit on the shelf, or they're on some iDrive or whatever they're calling it. You know, there's a hashtag that relates to every single one of those goals. Start there. You know, start with these places where you absolutely should be. You know, if you really want to take those goals seriously and take them to the next level, then, you know, you and I could sit together and come up with 10 hashtags for every one of your goals.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you're right. There's a lot of hashtags. 2018, back in 2012, there was like 50. Now there's like 500 plus all the little micros that are happening in the communities, which is great. But I also do feel like it's pulled us apart a little bit and fragmented us because there's not the key hashtags. I ran PT chat for 250 straight Wednesday nights. And, yes, I love having my Wednesday nights back, but that was my PLN during those 3 or 4 years was everyone coming to talk about family engagement on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that you find a regular hashtag with regular people that meet at a certain time and have one of those, not three, not five, not ten, but you choose one. And really that's a place where you can really build some nice relationships and possibly kindle some partnerships and some collaborations within your school and the other principals and teachers and people that you find on Twitter.
Yeah. Joe, you mentioned Cindy Goldberg, and who was the other person?
Brian Akins.
Akins.
Cindy Goldberg and Brian Akins.
And they're mindfulness, right?
Yeah, if you follow the Maker Dad's work, we've tweeted and retweeted their stuff. We've shared them. We're following them. But yeah, just great individuals that I've had a chance to work one-on-one with kids this year with them. So I highly recommend their work, and they've helped me a lot with our space. I'm not there today, but if I was coming to you from my makerspace in our house, that's the Maker Dads Community Makerspace, our headquarters where we have open makes. Our whole second floor is being built as a mindful floor right now. So actually in about 3 weeks, I'll be able to kind of reach back out. Maybe we'll do an article or mm-hmm. something like that with Kaylin and actually say, what does a mindful floor absolutely look like? If I was going to create a makerspace that's completely mindful, mindful, every sense of the word inside that makerspace, what would that look like? No tech. You know, so that's some of the work that we're doing on the ground here, really trying to explore this, trying to make sure that mindfulness doesn't just live in a classroom where a teacher gets it. You know, it needs to be bigger than that. We're creating more equity gaps that we don't need if we don't really try to make this cultural, right from the start. Any responses you want to read, Honor, from the question?
Sure. Yeah. Rebecca writes, I feel that if students see me leading in mindfulness, they will take control of their own mindfulness and want to be involved more as well.
It's a life skill. It's an absolute life skill.
And then Joe writes, the ideas shared by you, Joe, and the participants were really helpful. I'll be organizing our teacher orientation week to include scheduled events we have discussed today. Thanks for the time. And then Rebecca.
Yeah, I got this in the aisle at Walgreens. It's like a nice, I think it's, who makes this? Prevention Magazine or something like that. But again, start your library of your professional library. And if you don't have mindfulness resources, as part of that professional library, you know, anything Brené Brown is also going to help us think about wellness. You know, there's so many resources. We've just got to get started. We just got to say, okay, it's important. Now we're going to actually invest the space, the resources, and the time to tell everyone else and show everyone else how important it really is. And don't be an expert. Don't try to be an expert. Just take a little bit and roll with it. Figure out what works best for you because that's going to be unique to you.
That's right. And Joe, if they want to get a hold of you, is that on one of the slides? You've got that for the makerspace and all this?
Yeah, I'm makerdads@gmail.com or www.maker-dads.com.
Let's do it again. Makerdads.
Makerdads@gmail.com is the email. And my website is www.maker-dads.com.
Okay, that's great. Oops, we just lost that. Well, sorry about that, folks. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Okay, so we wrote a book last summer. They're doing it again this summer. I'm unable to go this year, but there's another team writing. It's called The Education Right Now through Rutledge. I wrote a chapter on mental health in that book. So I feel like that's a really great book for principals to use to hit a variety of different topics with staff. So if you're looking for a book chat for your staff next year, whether they have that face-to-face or a combination of face-to-face and Voxer, Ed Right Now hits some of the areas that we talked about today, but a variety of other areas as well. So check that out. Hashtag Ed Right Now. Next slide.
One second. Joe, one question I think Jeremy writes that's very, very important. It says, please tell us how much time you spend at work and at home while you were a principal. Did you do schoolwork in the evenings or on weekends?
Oh, my God. Yes.
What advice would you give us now about that balance that you're, you know, in terms of using more mindfulness?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So, one, the only rule I had with my own mindfulness was dropping my cell phone in the box when I got home from work. And I started doing that like year two of Twitter. I should have done it a lot sooner. But you can get really uber connected and really attached to your phone. And if you're attached to your phone, you're not attached to your kids. You're not attached to your family. So I always recommend the box rule. You come in and you got to go from work daddy or mommy to family engaged mommy or daddy. That's super important. That sets the tone for everything you're going to do that night, how you walk in the house, so to speak. So, you know, you've got to carve out strategies for yourself. You know, after the kids go to bed, you're obviously going to have a lot more time. Finding routine at night with your kids and their bedtimes is also going to help you find routine, whether you want to exercise or you want to do some mindfulness or you want to go for a walk. Again, we're not talking about everyone having to go to do a gym membership. That's just not possible for everybody. But there's lots of other ways to get out and get yourself some reflection time, some breathing time, some exercise time, some mindful time. A lot of times I'll sit in the car for an extra 10 minutes. And that might be the most, again, the shot out of the cannon example. But that might be, again, I'm not sitting in front of the school or not sitting in front of my house, but I might pull off and just sit in the car for a couple minutes and just catch my breath. Turn the radio off. Stop listening to all the negativity. I mean, now I love listening to the radio because they're talking about how, like, the Eagles won the Super Bowl still, and we still can't believe that happened here in Philadelphia. So, you know, it's fine. But, again, you're in control here. You're at the controls. You know, where are the areas that you need to change systematically because they haven't worked in the years and years that you've been trying to make it happen? You know, it's time to actually take control of this. There you go. Yeah, so that's the link to our Maker Dads work. Check us out. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My wife, Lauren, and I started this company, this startup, back in September. We went to our first elementary school to help them build their elementary makerspace back in September. That was out in L.A. And now we're in 9 different elementary schools and middle schools across the country. So we're growing, really mindfulness and wellness is one of the stations that we're building in all of these makerspaces. It's not present in the school. We're going to add it to the makerspace because the makerspace is intended to feed the rest of the school, feed the school with ideas, feed the school with, you know, what is possible. How do we hack this? How do we solve this? And again, it's not just a kid place. It's a human place where we think, where we design, where we get better, as humans. So again, thank you for, tuning in today. Thank you for your time. Look forward to following up with you, whether on Twitter, Joe_Mazza or Maker Dads. On Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Thank you for what you do. The elementary principalship is an awesome, awesome position in every sense of the word. I have so much respect for it. I think about it all the time. But I also love now that I'm getting to work with kids and teachers and parents again with the work that we're doing. So have a great afternoon, everyone. I'll hang out here for 5 minutes in case there's other questions to respond to. But I appreciate everyone stopping in NAESP's webinar today. And thank you, Honor and Gail and Kaylin and Deb and the team over at NAESP.
Thank you, Joe. We, on behalf of NAESP, we just really have appreciated our partnership over the years. I encourage you all to meet Joe personally at our upcoming NAESP summer conference in July. July 9th through 11th in Orlando, Florida. So you can find out more information about our conference at www.naesp.org/conference. And hope to see you there, Joe. Looking forward to it. And thank you, everyone, for this afternoon.